Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you this morning. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, it's Tuesday morning. We just say thank you. Thank you for your friendship to us. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've sent, Lord, to indwell us and to fill us. Thank you for your written word that you have given to us and preserved it and kept it. It's infallible and inerrant. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for just loving us. And help us this day, Lord, to be mindful of that. And help us, Lord, to be very careful and to be very mindful of you. And try all day long, every moment of this day and the days ahead, to live for you and to live like you. To live in such a way, Lord, that you would be brought glory and honor. May, Lord, you receive favorable attention because of the choices that we make. Help us to do this, Father, for you alone are worthy. We thank you for this day. We ask your blessings now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm in the book of Proverbs, have been for some time, in Proverbs chapter 22, looking for biblical principles for practical living. But before I get started this morning, I'd like just to take a few moments and sort of redirect our attention to our parents. And the reason I do so this morning is just this past week, my mother passed away. She had just turned 85 on February the 8th. And then on February the 11th, the Lord called her home in the early morning, about 7 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, and she entered into eternity. You know, as I stop and I think about this and I recollect, just some 6 months ago, back in August, my father passed away. And now in February, my mother. You know, I guess as a young man many years ago and of recent, I understood that if I didn't die, if I were to live a normal lifespan, if I were to get my 70, as we say, then I would probably see my parents go before me, and that is in fact what has taken place. But I'd like to just take a moment, and just for those of you who are listening, you may have already had one or both of your parents pass away too, but I'm sure there are those that are listening whose mom and dad, they're still living. And may I just take a moment this morning and encourage you to do all that you can for them and with them while you have them. I'm so glad this morning that as I sit in my desk at the church, I don't have any regrets. I don't have to have any bad feelings. I wish I had gone down there more often. I wish I had told her I loved her. I did those things. And I'm so glad that I did. I can say, you know, it sure does make it easier when the loved one, the parent goes, and you know that you've been there, you've given what you could for them, you did what you needed to do, and you even tried to do things you may perhaps didn't have the time, but you made the time. And I guess what I'm saying this morning, you know, if you have your mom and dad, you won't have them forever, and we never know when they're going to be called home. If they're not saved, boy, pray for them, witness to them, love them. If they are saved, be there, be an encouragement. Let them have these last years of their life. Let them have that peace in mind, knowing that their children are living holy, righteous, and godly lives. You know, that means so much to them. It really does. To my mom and dad, I knew for a fact they were pleased that I had decided to serve the Lord in the ministry. But I think they were more pleased that I had the testimony that I had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. It brought them great pleasure, I think. And, of course, they are responsible in large part for that, for they pointed me in that direction. But I'm saying this morning, you're listening to me, mom and dad still around. Love on them today. After the message, give them a call. Tell them you love them. So drop by their house sometime this week. You know, just be there. Sit there with them. Sit down in the living room. You know, watch the news with them. Watch, their favorite show. You know, my mother, they used to like to watch Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. And so sometimes I would go down there and I would just watch Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy, whether I wanted to or not. I just sat there and they seemed to enjoy that. In other words, I'm just saying, do something with your folks while you have them. There's coming a day you won't. And you're gonna want to have all the memories, all those precious memories that you can. So I encourage you this morning to love on your moms, love on your dads, be glad you have them, because there is coming a day that you probably, if you live a normal lifespan, you'll live and they'll pass on, and just you'll have your memories. Make good memories today. Build a treasure of memories, good memories, with your moms and dads. And those of you who are children, or excuse me, moms and dads, you realize that your days are limited, and so let's build a treasure of memories with our children, and knowing that someday we'll physically depart from this earth to be reunited if we, by faith, have trusted Christ. So I just bring that up this morning. Just want to encourage you to love on your family today. You'll be glad you did. You really would. When Midas answered the words of truth to them that send thee. And so here's Solomon. He's writing to his children, you know, and he's telling them, bow down thine ear. That word there, that phrase, bow down thine ear, it carries the idea of cause to yield. Cause to yield. This is the mark of a wise person. A wise person, we've already learned that the Bible teaches that a foolish man despises reproof, and a wise man will be yet wiser having received reproof. Then as a wise person, we read the book of Daniel, the Bible said he had wisdom, and God gave Daniel because he had wisdom. And, you know, we ought to bow down. The wise among us will cause ourselves to yield. We'll bow down the ear. We'll hear the words of the wise because we realize they have something we don't. They know something we do not, and we would be well advised to take heed and to listen. And at the very minimum, consider what they've said. You may or you may not agree with it, but you'd be foolish not to at least consider it, to hear it out. And a wise man's going to bow down. He's going to cause to yield. If you would, he'll hush his mouth and open up his ears and listen, consider, ponder what he's heard. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. You know, if we are wise people this morning, if we're wise individuals, when somebody reproves us, somebody rebukes us or reproves us, we will be willing to accept that. As a matter of fact, we will embrace it. And we will appreciate their effort to help us to be a better person. You know, so often when somebody is rebuked or reproved, they get mad. They get angry. You don't need to tell me. I know that. You mind your own business. I'll do what I want to do. And so on. That's a sign of a foolish person speaking. The wise person says, thank you. I'll take that under consideration. I thank you. I didn't even consider that. I didn't even notice that. Boy, that's a good point. I appreciate your help. That's what a wise man will do. In Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto a wise counsel. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. You know, a foolish doesn't want to hear it, but a wise man does. A foolish man's not going to get, he's not going to be increasing in his learning. He'll be decreasing because he won't listen. But a wise man will listen. He'll listen on purpose, and because of that, he will increase his learning. A wise man will attain into wise counsel. Otherwise, he's going to be attracted to that. He wants it. He desires it. He longs for it. Why? Because he knows that it'll make him a better person. And so this morning, we ought to be wise. Bow down thy ear. Cause ourselves to yield to those that are teaching us. And verse 19, we see here that Solomon says that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Solomon wanted his children to trust in the Lord at all times and for all things. He desired that they would not only learn for themselves, but also that they would learn for others. He says in verse 21, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Solomon said, I don't want you to just know the truth for yourself. I want you to know it well enough so that you can teach others also, so that you can help them, guide them, give them good advice. And so this morning, you know, a wise man will increase learning. And because he does that, he then will be able to teach others and help them. You know, we can't help others if we've not been helped ourselves. And we all need help. Boy, God pity the soul that thinks he doesn't need any help. God pity the soul who thinks he or she has arrived and is arrogant and know-it-all. You know, we all can learn something. I remember hearing one preacher say many years ago, everybody knows something I don't, therefore everybody can be my teacher. That's a wise man. Everybody knows something that I don't, therefore everybody can be my teacher. You know, some people get to the point in life where they can't be taught anything. They know it all. They're so full of themselves, they can't find an empty spot to add any more learning. And may God deliver us from that attitude. And may God help us to have an empty space in our hearts where we say, you know what, Lord, I've got more room to learn. Let somebody teach me. Let somebody reprove me if that's what needed. Let somebody rebuke me if that's just. But Lord, help me to grow and learn and be a better person. Solomon was interested in his children being this. And I think God is interested in us being this way as well. We drop down to verse 22 and 23. There's another principle here that we can put into practice. Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. You know, Albert Barnes put it this way. He said, do not be tempted by the helplessness of the poor man to do him wrong. Do not be tempted by the helplessness of the poor man to do him wrong. Why would God put this in the Bible? Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. Why would God do that? Could it be that he knew that that's what humanity does? Could it be that he knew that it was in the capacity of man's heart to take advantage of the disadvantage? Why is that? Oh, because of our fallen nature, our sinful nature. And the truth of it is, in within each one of us lies the ability, the capability to take advantage of the disadvantage. We see it as a means to get up on somebody, so to speak. And sometimes we may not do it in a sense where we've actually realized we're doing it, but we can look back and say, you know what? I think I inadvertently took advantage of somebody who was less advantaged than myself. God help us not to do that. For the Lord will plead their cause. And the spoil of the soul of those, and he'll spoil the soul of those that spoil them. You know, in Matthew chapter 35, verse 10, the Bible says, all my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. The Lord will do this. The Lord will deliver the poor. In Psalm chapter 10, verse 14, the Bible says, thou hast seen it. For thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it at thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. You see, this morning God is interested in the poor. I heard a preacher, I believe it was David Gibbs one time, said God is attracted to weakness. God is attracted to weakness. God wants to care, and God does care for the poor. The Bible says in Psalm 34:6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, this morning, God's got an eye for the poor. God has an eye for the needy. You know, as God's children this morning, as saved people, assuming that the majority of us that are listening are saved and born again and on our way to heaven, been washed and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, have heaven as our eternal home, not because of our goodness, but because of Jesus' goodness and his finished work on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We have Christ as our Savior. You know, God wants us this morning to take care of the poor. He wants us to have an eye, an interest in the poor, those that are less fortunate than we are. That's how God lives, and that's how God wants us as God's people to live. You know, perhaps everybody listening this morning, everybody listening knows somebody who's less fortunate than you. There's not a person who's listening today, I'm convinced of this, there's not a person who's listening today that doesn't know somebody who has a more difficult time than you are, that has less than you do. And by the way, if you're trying to deny that, don't do that. Don't let yourself convince yourself that you have it worse than everybody else. Don't say, well, you don't understand my situation. Nobody has it bad as I do. No, there's always somebody who has it worse. And this morning, you know, God says, you know, we ought to care for the poor. It doesn't matter how poor you are, care for the guy who's more poor than you are. There's always somebody you can look to care for. There's always somebody you can lend a helping hand to. You know, you and I will be better having lived this way, and we'll be worse when we try to take advantage of those who are less advantaged. Albert Barnes again says, do not be tempted by the helplessness of the poor man to do him wrong. Let's find those who don't have as much, haven't had the benefits, and let's give of ourselves, our time, our energy, our effort, our money, or whatever it is, to help the poor. That's what Jesus would do today, and may, by God's grace, he find us doing the very same thing. Two principles today. May God help us to recognize these, and more importantly, may he help us to put them into a practical application today. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.